All right, beloved, this is Revelation, lesson 131, and tonight we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, and we're going to be examining what I'm calling in this lesson, the preaching angel. All right, the scripture says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time inside of Your Word. We ask now that You open our hearts and mind to Your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now last night, beloved, we saw further details about the 144,000. Tonight we are introduced to an angel that preaches. Now the first point here is, and I saw another angel. So here we have another angel that is flying in the midst or middle of heaven, as we'll see in a moment. But wait a moment, where is the other angel? Another represents repetition of the same kind. So this points to a previous angel. But there's a problem, beloved, but it's not in your King James Bible. It's in the modern Bibles and in the corrupted Greek text. Turn over to Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. He says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Now there in the NIV, the ESV, and so forth, there is no angel at all, beloved. But rather, it's an eagle. And I checked their Greek version, and that's what's recorded there. But in the King James Bible, in the Textus Receptus, it is recorded as an angel. So if you delete the angel here in Revelation 8:13, you've got a problem in the Bible because you cannot find another angel that is like this one here in Revelation 14:6 that is flying in the midst or the middle of the heavens. So, beloved, there is no problem in your King James Bible. All right, so that's what we see. And I saw another angel. And then he says, fly in the midst of heaven. So the angel is flying in the middle of the first heaven. All right, next point is having the everlasting gospel. Now notice here that the angel has the everlasting gospel. Now 144,000, we have already noted, have assisted in spreading the gospel. They were the first fruits. They were the first ones that were saved under the preaching of the two witnesses, which we've already examined to be Moses and Elijah, who have also spread the gospel, and now the angel is going to go forth with it. Now, please don't misunderstand. This angel is not in the same vein as the angels seen previously back in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Those angels, the word angel was transliterated from the Greek language, angelos, into angel. And remember, you have two meanings of the word angel. That is messenger, that's the meaning of the word. Or you can also see referring to a heavenly messenger, and that is a supernatural creature. So we have already determined previously in our past studies that you have to examine the context where the word angelos or angel occurs. And here we find this angel flying in the middle of heaven. And the last time I noticed any preacher, the pastor of a church flying through the midst of heaven, is that he was on an airplane. So this is, right side and side of this text, this is a supernatural creature. And how it is strange here that we observe an angel, a supernatural creature that is going to preach the gospel. God has not called angels to preach the gospel, that is supernatural creatures. But rather He has commanded and commissioned the church to bear forth the gospel. And He has specifically called out pastor teachers to go forth, and He's commissioned teachers to help teach that word to those that are upon the earth during this dispensation. But here we see the angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. And what's he going to do? He says, next point, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now remember, in our previous studies, we have seen that this is a phraseology that refers to the lost. Now combining this thought with the angel having the gospel and preaching it, we should be reminded of Jesus' word in Matthew 24:14, which said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So here we find the gospel of the kingdom mentioned by Jesus, and then the everlasting gospel here in our text verse. Now what's the difference? The gospel of the kingdom has the Jews in mind first, just as it was in mind during the earthly ministry of Christ. The gospel, as Paul stated, was to the Jew first, then to the Greek. Likewise, in the tribulation, Moses and Elijah, they will preach to the Jews in Jerusalem first. And the 144,000 are the first converts, evidently during the tribulation, and then they spread the gospel, according to Jesus, to the Jews first. And now an angel comes and he's going to spread the gospel of the kingdom, which is available to the Gentiles, and it will now be called the everlasting gospel, because they are the one and the same gospel. And it is to ensure, beloved, that that gospel is spread to all those that dwell upon the earth. Now this has been the goal of many different denominations throughout church history, to spread the gospel to all the nations, in order to hurry Jesus along, if you will, in coming back. I remember a Southern Baptist campaign in the recent past, in the past 20 years, with that motive in mind. Why don't we just preach the gospel, beloved, so that folks will get saved? That's what I don't understand. Anyway, we can further note, beloved, that this gospel has already been preached around the world once before. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, "For the hope which is laid up for you," he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word, of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." And also, Colossians 1:23, "If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard," now watch it, "and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now you see, the gospel has already, during the lifetime of the Apostle Paul, gone out into the entire earth. Now, I know some Bible scholars and commentators are going to say, "Well, that doesn't mean that." Well, that's what the Greek text communicates. That's what, more importantly, the English communicates. And if that's what the Bible says, that's what the Bible says, that's what it literally says, and that's what I'm going to believe. That God had told them, Jesus Christ communicated them in the Great Commission, that they were to start in Jerusalem, then go into Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the uttermost part of the earth, and that is exactly what they did. And you can trace that through. Alright, next he says, in the next point here in verse 6, "and to every nation." Now this, of course, refers to nations, as God is the creator and establisher of nations. Remember, beloved, that God is a nationalist, not a multiculturalist. He is not a globalist. Amen to that. God doesn't just save Jews or white folks or Baptists. The salvation is open to anyone who will believe. All right, next point, "and kindred." Now this refers to the various races, the tribes and lineages of mankind. You see that back in Strong's Concordant G5443. And you saw a lot of people get uptight whenever you start talking about races. But race is one of the most fundamental things that we see inside of America. We see it talked about daily on the news. We see it bandied about all throughout our culture. Right now we have the stupid Black Lives Matter movement, which is nothing but racism, on display. And so race is a topic that we need to talk about inside of our church, and we need to discuss as Christians, because we need to understand what it is. But and there you have two different camps. You have people like Ken Ham is going to say, "Well, there's only one race, and that's the human race." Well, that's the liberal bleeding heart idea there. I'm not saying Ken Ham is a liberal, but I am saying that is the cop-out for trying to tiptoe around the issue. No, there was originally one race, and that was the red man. That was from Adam all the way down unto Noah. And then when Mrs. Noah was pregnant, she's the only one, and Noah is the only one out of the patriarchs of the lineage from Adam all the way down to Noah. They are the only ones that had only three children. They did not begat sons and daughters. They only had three sons, and it is from those three sons, while they were in the womb, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, that God himself created three distinct races. And that is Japheth being the progenitor of the white race. You have Shem being the progenitor of the olive or dusty complexion race. That would be the Middle East. And then from there, as you trace him, you will find the Indians come from Shem. You will find the Mongolians come from him. And the Middle East, the Orientals and so forth, that's where they're going to come out of. And then Ham will be the father of the African, or of the black race. And of course, as they moved around in the entire world, many of them would mix, and they would also create new racial types, if you will, amalgamation throughout the world. And see, when you start talking about that, people suddenly start thinking you're a racist, and you think that you're better than everybody else. That's not true. That is just a valid fact that is taught in Scripture, and it is authenticated throughout the patterns and paths of human history. So if you study that out, you'll learn all about that. All right, next point is, and tongue. That, of course, refers to languages. And it says, and people. Now, this refers to a mass of people. Seeing the reference in the next point, of course, to nations, it would seem then that this points to groups of people not living in a nation proper, but rather in a society that is not functioning as a proper nation, but rather they are linked by other factors such as culture. And so in other words, this is the idea, to give you kind of a notion here as an illustration. You have a town that is corporated, that is incorporated, and then you have a community. So, for example, I'm here as the pastor of Danieltown Baptist Church. This is a community. We do not have a town hall. We do not have a mayor of Danieltown. We do not have a post office of Danieltown. But if you go to Virginia, you can find Danieltown. That is a town. They do have a mayor. They do have a city hall. They do have a postal service and so forth. So, in other words, that's kind of the difference there. All right, next verse, saying with a loud voice. So this is the way and manner that all the other announcements from heaven have been. What does he say? First of all, he says, fear God. Now that is the duty of man according to Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now the Revelation Online commentary says, the flying angel calls upon those who sit on the earth to fear God. Fear or respect of God is often called for in response on behalf of mankind to the true God of heaven. Genesis 22:12 identifies Abraham as a fearer of God. Fears of God in the future disposition of Israel, according to Jeremiah 32:40. Psalm 111:10 declares that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now Luke described Gentiles who look favorably upon Judaism as God-fearers, Acts 10:2 and Acts 13:16. It is clear then, beloved, that being a fearer of God does not make one a believer in the New Testament sense. However, it is the beginning of wisdom. It is the starting point for those who would go on to call out to God for eternal salvation. So that's the whole idea. You must begin with the fear, the respect of God. Then out of that, we are to next point, and give glory to him. We ought to give him glory. Barnes says this means to give glory to him is to acknowledge him as the only one true God, to set up his pure worship in the heart, and to praise him as the great ruler of heaven and earth. And I say amen to that. Why don't you give glory to him? Next point, for the hour of his judgment is come. This is the warning that the judgment of God is about to come We'll see that in Revelation chapter 16. So they're saying basically, sober up, get right with God, and if you are right with God, you better praise Him and give glory to Him. And then the final point is, it says here, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So basically the idea now is telling them to worship God the Creator. Now remember how we worship the Lord back over in John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24? He says, Jesus says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So this is a call then to true worship. Beloved, for there are a lot of false worshipers and a lot of false worship, pseudo-worship, going on at that time just as much as there is today. So while then, in the future, people may not be worshiping the Antichrist, there's still a bunch of false worship going on at that time. So the angel is telling them they need to look to the one true God and worship Him. Well, that's going to wrap up then lesson 131. Might be a little bit shorter than you're used to, but that's okay. We'll get a little bit of time tonight to go ahead and fellowship one with the other as we prepare our hearts for the revival services this evening. Well, with that said, thank you, and we will go ahead and head on out.